Well, I invite you to turn with me now to Galatians chapter 4 as we come back to this now after a little time away. You know, of course, that we were studying the doctrine of assurance for our New Year's series. We had a couple of snow days in there, and that really extended that a little bit. But now we come back to Galatians chapter 4, and we'll be looking especially at verses 21 to 31 here, the account of the bondwoman and the free woman. We'll read that in just a moment. But as you're turning there, you'll remember that Paul is writing this letter to the Galatians with much passion and compassion, much love and concern for the Galatians. He speaks to them as children. He speaks to them as a father. He speaks to them as a brother. He speaks to them even as a mother. That was where we left off last time, back in verse 19 of this chapter, chapter 4. Paul addressed the Galatians as his little children, whom he loves, and he describes himself as a mother in labor for them. In labor for them again until Christ is formed in them. And Paul is speaking there of his great suffering and pain for them so that Christ would be formed in them. And that labor now continues in the passage before us, verses 21 to 31. Because you'll recall the Galatians were forsaking Paul, that is, they were forsaking the message of the gospel that Paul brought to them, for the Judaizers. They were forsaking the gospel for another message, which was no gospel at all. They're turning from faith in Christ to their works, trusting in their works. And Paul is very concerned about that, so he's going to speak to that again this morning in verses 21 to 31. But first, let's pray. O Lord our God, we thank you for your amazing grace, grace that sought us and bought us and brought us into the fold of God. We thank you this morning for an assurance that your Spirit witnesses with our spirits, that we are the children of God, and if children, heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And, O Lord, as we read the Scriptures, we need your help to read it aright, to understand what it says, to be changed by it. We need the illumination of your Spirit in our minds, and we pray now for that blessing. Help us to read and mark and learn and inwardly digest, and all for Jesus' sake. Amen. Will you stand with me then for the reading of God's Word? Again, Galatians chapter 4, from verse 21 down through the end of the chapter. This is God's Word. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. You may be seated. And so Paul is continuing here, as we said, in his labor for the Galatians, for this church, confronting them with a great question, isn't it? In verse 21, right at the beginning here of this section, he says, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? And Paul, without mentioning them by name here, is identifying the Judaizers for what they really are. They desire to be under the law. Well, that's a striking statement. Who would ever want to be under the law for salvation? Who would want to depend upon their own law-keeping, their own righteousness, their own obedience, their works to save them? Who would want to earn their way to God by keeping rules and regulations? Who would want such a performance-based religion? And the answer is, we do. We do. There is a Pharisee in all of us. And that's why the letter to the Galatians is just as relevant to us today as it was to the Galatians then. This is not just a piece of ancient history. Now, in our theology, as Reformed believers, we would never say we would forsake the gospel for the law. But in our practice, that is often the very thing we do. We act as though the only way to be accepted by God is by what I do and how well I'm doing it. And so we have to act a certain way, do certain things, keep certain rules, observe certain regulations, and we need to be perfect, or at least have everybody else think that we're perfect. And what do we do when we fail? When we're not as righteous or as holy as we thought we're going to be? What do we so often do? Our first reaction is to go back to the law, to make promises relying on our own strength that from now on it's going to be different. I'm going to do better. I won't sin there anymore. I'll be more righteous, more diligent. I won't fall into that again. I'll do it. There is a Pharisee in all of us. And by nature, we turn to the law when what we need to be doing is turning to the gospel. Not to the promises we make, because you're going to break them, but to the promises Christ makes, because he never breaks them. As one commentator said, we forget that Christianity is a form of liberty and not slavery. We reduce faith in Christ, we reduce the gospel to a list of do's and don'ts, rules and traditions, and then we evaluate our spiritual status by what we do for God rather than by what God has done for us in Jesus. We cling to our regulations and traditions and the boxes we can check because they feel safe. They're things we can do and note when others aren't doing them, because we'd rather depend upon ourselves for our salvation than we would another. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Again, we would never say that we would want to depend upon ourselves for salvation. But we're talking about the way that we often act and behave, which reveals something of our hearts. And we can think we have enough resources within ourselves to make ourselves acceptable to God. Oh, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm not that bad. I'm a pretty good Christian. That commentator went on to say, this epistle was written to help slaves of religion find true freedom in Christ. Are you a slave of religion? Going through the motions, checking off all the boxes, thinking that God must be pleased with that? Or are you coming as one who is free, free in Christ? Are you living in the freedom of the gospel, or are you burdened under the bondage of the law? And this is Paul's question to the Galatians. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? You're saying a lot of stuff, you're doing a lot of stuff, but have you even listened to the law? Verse 22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. Abraham had two sons. The bondwoman, of course, was Hagar, and her son was Ishmael. We've been through this in Galatians. The free woman was Sarah, and her son was Isaac. And then in verse 23, Paul continues, but he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. And so think of the births of these two sons. Ishmael, the son of Hagar, the bondwoman who is born according to the flesh. You know the story. We looked at it in Genesis not that long ago. Abraham and Sarah are childless. And now they're very advanced in years. beyond the normal age of childbearing, and yet God had made promises to them, saying that they would have children, that their descendants would be as numerous as the stars in heaven, but still childless, they failed to wait on God and to trust his promise, and instead took matters into their own hands. So Sarah gave Abraham her maidservant, Hagar, that he might have a child with her. And Ishmael was the result. Ishmael was born entirely according to the flesh. Isaac, on the other hand, the son of Sarah, the free woman, was born through their promise. And again, remember the story of the birth of Isaac. Though Sarah was now far beyond the age of childbearing, God had promised to give her a son. And God was faithful to that promise in his time and in his way. And Isaac was born through the promise of God, completely through the promise of God. And Paul says, the scriptures record the story because it has something to teach us. And it has something to teach us, especially those of us who would desire to be under the law for our salvation. And Paul begins to unfold that teaching in verse 24. He says, the birth of these two sons is symbolic, for these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. And let's think about that for a moment. These two women, Hagar and Sarah, in God's working, Hagar and Sarah represent something. And their two sons, Ishmael and Isaac, represent something. These two births, Ishmael according to the flesh and Isaac according to the promise, represent something. What they represent are two covenants. Paul identifies one of these covenants immediately in verse 24. And it is the covenant from Mount Sinai. The Mosaic covenant, especially here in view, is the law. And that's what these Judaizers want to be under. They want to look to the law, to their law-keeping. And now these Galatians are joining them and want to be under the law. Give me the things to do, give me the boxes to check, give me the ceremonies and the rituals to observe, and I'll observe them. And they think that in doing these things, they will find life and peace and salvation. That's the way they think of the law. But look at what the law gives birth to, according to verse 24. The law gives birth to bondage. And it's like Hagar giving birth to Ishmael. She was a bondwoman. She was not free. And you understand Paul's point here. The law can never bring you freedom. It tells you what is just. It tells you what is good. It tells you what is righteous and holy. But it can never give you the power to do that which is good and righteous and just and holy. And when you fail at the law, when you break the law at any point, there's no mercy in the law. The law cannot forgive you or give you grace. It only brings you bondage and death. Paul continues to build upon that in verse 25. He said, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Paul says a couple of striking things there. The first is Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. That's strange, but let's see if we can follow. He is equating Hagar and the birth of Ishmael with the law. He's equating the law with Arabia. And what is his point? Where is Arabia? Where is Mount Sinai? It's not in the Promised Land. His point is simply, the law can never bring anyone into the Promised Land. The law cannot bring you freedom and life. And we can think of it in terms of the Old Testament. Moses, the mediator of the Old Covenant, the one through whom God gave the law. Where does Moses die? He dies outside the Promised Land. Even the mediator of the Old Covenant, the lawgiver, can't enter the Promised Land. We need one greater than Moses. And where do the five books of Moses, where do they end? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Where are they when the book of Deuteronomy ends? They're still outside the promised land. The law cannot give life. It cannot bring anyone into the promised land. It cannot give you the inheritance. And this is Paul's point. The second thing that he says that is rather striking here is this. He equates Hagar and Mount Sinai in Arabia with the Jerusalem that now is, along with her children. And what he is saying there, what he's adding there, what he's saying is that all who desire to be under the law are in bondage. The law can never give you freedom. It can only leave you in bondage. And here perhaps is a good opportunity to step back for a moment and to look at what Paul's driving at here. He's asking us, he's asking the Galatians, after he's set forth the law and the bondage that it brings to those who try to live by the law, he's setting all that before us and asking us this question. Is that really what you want? Is this what you want to be under? Do you really, now that you know, do you really want a religion of works righteousness placed upon you, a religion of rules and regulations and of always trying to measure up? If that is what your religion, if that is what your faith amounts to, then you will never make yourself acceptable to God. Never. Never. You can never be free. But praise be to God, there's another covenant. Covenant of grace. There is another mother, and there is another son, and there is another city. And Paul begins to point us there in verse 26. Verse 26. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. There's a Jerusalem above, which that other Jerusalem was to point to, but there's a Jerusalem above, a heavenly Jerusalem. And he's pointing away from the Jerusalem that now is, the Jerusalem with which the Galatians and the Judaizers would have been very much familiar with. And he says, that must not be your mother. There is a Jerusalem above that is your mother. And in many ways, he's proclaiming here the church. Calvin once said that he who will not have the church for his mother cannot have God as father. And it's in the church, the Jerusalem from above, where God gives to us the means of grace, where he ministers to his family, to his body, to his bride, and calls us to his beloved son. There is a Jerusalem above, and she is free, and she is the mother of all who believe. And Paul can barely mention her and the freedom that belongs to her before he breaks into song in verse 27. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. And Sarah was barren, but she was to rejoice. She did not bear, but she was to break forth in song. Why? Because of the number of her children. The number of those who are born from above is a countless multitude. Paul goes on, verse 28. Paul goes on in verse 28 to give the Galatians the benefit of the doubt there, including them among the children of promise, including them in that Jerusalem that is above. He says in verse 28, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. Ishmael was the product of human effort, but not Isaac. And Paul is reminding us there, we don't earn acceptance and our place with God through our human effort. We receive acceptance with God by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And aren't you profoundly thankful for that? And even as we anticipate coming to the table of the Lord tonight, aren't you thankful that you don't need to spend the time to make yourself worthy to come to the table? On the contrary, the table is for sinners who know they have nothing in their hands to bring, but simply cling to the cross of Christ. And yet, it's the ones who would cling to Christ, to him alone, that so often are the persecuted ones. Verse 29. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. And so the Judaizers would persecute believers, and of course, persecution continues down through the ages to this day. But Paul wants to make very clear that it's not those who persecute believers, those who are born from the Jerusalem above, it's not those who would persecute believers that have the final word. It is the Scriptures that have the final word. Look what he says in verse 30. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. We've spoke of those words before. They're Sarah's words, but they're affirmed by God himself. The bondwoman and her son are to be cast out. The bondwoman and her son are not heirs of the promise with the free woman. And Ishmael was cast out. He never received the inheritance. Why not? Because he was the son of a bondwoman. He was born according to the flesh. He was not a son of promise. And what is Paul saying here? Well, Hendrickson summarizes it well, I think, when he says, Ishmael and Isaac cannot live side by side. Law and grace, as a means to salvation, cannot dwell in one camp. Judaism, with its law, is a religion of bondage. But Christianity, with its gospel, is a religion of freedom. And what Paul is contending for here is something that we must continue to contend for. Christianity, as a religion of freedom, cannot and must not tolerate a legalistic approach to the Christian life. We can't reduce the Christian life to rules and regulations and laws and performance. The Christian life is not a life of burdensome bondage. It's a life of glorious liberty in what has been done. And we need that reminder, and you need it often. And you may remember the scene in Pilgrim's Progress, as Bunyan records it, as Christian makes his way to the cross. And all along, he's been carrying this heavy burden upon his back, this burden of sin and guilt. And it's only when he comes to the cross that he loses that burden and it falls down the hill and his pilgrimage is made lighter and so much more joyful. And yet, what do we so often do? We turn around, we go back down the hill, we pick up the burden of sin and guilt, and we hoist it back upon our shoulders, and we turn away from the cross, and we go back to Sinai in Arabia. And we think that somehow by doing all these things, somehow we're going to find peace with God. It's insanity. Paul looks at the Galatians and he's astonished. Paul says, you've got it all wrong. Christ came to take your burden and to cast it from you forever. And don't think for a moment that your Savior would have you pick it back up again. He came to bear it so that you bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Paul's pointing them again and again and again to the gospel, to Christ, to faith in him. And he's saying, don't ever compromise on this. Life and death are at stake here. And he'll say at the beginning of chapter 5 that if you desire again to be under the yoke of the law, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. In fact, he'll even say you have fallen from grace. It's that serious. There you have it. On the one side, Hagar, Ishmael, the Jerusalem below, the law, and bondage. On the other side, Sarah, Isaac, the Jerusalem that is above, the gospel and freedom. Who is your mother? Hagar or Sarah? Are you a child of the bondwoman or of the free? Come to the table this evening not to check off a box, not to follow a tradition, or just to go through the motions to feel good about yourself. But come knowing that the burden of your sin has been removed, and in its place, Jesus has given himself. And he would have you come to his table, not as a burdensome thing, but in the glorious liberty of the gospel. So if you come tonight, come with joy. God has given his Son. And in his Son, the birth that is from above. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we give thanks to you for this word. We pray that you would forgive us, that we so often fall back upon our own resources instead of looking always to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grant, as we have worked through these verses that point us to the liberty of the gospel in Christ, grant that the Christian life to us would never be a burdensome thing, but would be a joyful thing, that we would know more and more our acceptance before you. That would strengthen our assurance of salvation. And that we would know that that acceptance is not based upon our performance or upon anything we've done, but upon the work of Christ and his grace at work in us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.